If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Turn with me to St. John chapter 10 as we continue the subject of the areas of eternity. John 10, verse 10. This is why the thief comes, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. It seems that this passage is just stuck in the middle of a very important concept. Jesus is teaching about the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, verses 1 down to about 5. Then he goes into the metaphor of him being the door for the sheep. First, he's teaching on the sheep concept. And I love how he ends it there. He says, a stranger they will not follow, but they flee from him because they don't know the voice of a stranger. That passage is not prophetic. It is relational. I had to pick my family up at the airport. But you're not allowed to go up to the gates anymore. You have to kind of wait. Well, this one particular day, I wanted to go get them, and I wasn't waiting downstairs. So it's all who you know. Sometimes when I go down there are people outside, and they'll say, hey, Bishop Lambert. And I always act like, you know, you don't know me, because I don't like the public notice. But on this particular day, I wanted to be noticed. So I went down there, and he's like, Bishop Lambert. I said, yeah. I said, I need a favor. I need you to get me up to the gate. And so he was able to do some things that I can't talk about, but he was able to do some things. And I went up, and as the people were coming out, I was sitting in a chair. I was not in view of the passengers exiting, but my daughter saw me. I could not see them, but I heard, Dad, and I know her voice. And when she said, Dad, I stood up. And then eye contact was made after the voice resonated. When the gospel is preached, that's God sending a message to the elect. And only the elect will lift their heads. When you understand the shepherd and the sheep eat with their heads down. They tend to live with their heads down. And the shepherd, in order for the shepherd to get his sheep, he would let out a sound. And only his sheep would lift their heads. The rest of them belonging to another shepherd would keep on eating. You wonder how you were saved? You were a sheep. You didn't know you were a sheep. But Romans 8 says you were predestined. And the preaching, because we don't know who the sheep are, we preach to everybody, and only those that are elected will lift up their heads. Jesus died to get you that access. But let's examine something for a moment. And here is where we in the Pentecostal faith, because Pentecostals primarily, we focus and function on feeling and emotion, more of a demonstrative action of salvation than a cognitive action of salvation. I was with some pastors the other day, and we were talking about the age-old question of free will versus sovereignty. And many of the Pentecostals, they're still into this, you know, this you tell God what to do and you choose God and all of these archaic ideas, because you see, knowledge evolves and you should know better so you can do better. Don't hold on to the old theories of the 60s. In fact, you'll find that most Pentecostal teachers become extremely defensive when their old theories are questioned. And that's only because the theories weren't built on the Word of God, but on some emotional outbreak. Now, we were debating this back and forth, and there was not going to be any headway. There wasn't. And so the one pastor at the end of the table, he just summarized the view of 60% of the people around the table. Look, the Bible said the secret things belong to God, and only God can understand how you are elected, but you have free will. Only God can understand that. And everybody kind of just sank into, you know, okay, fine, we're done, because it can go on forever. So here's what happens in the Pentecostal aspect. We spend the majority of the time promoting heaven. Pentecostals love to talk about heaven. We're going to heaven. I'm living for heaven, trying to get to heaven. And as a result of that, we've become myopic in our Christian view. That means we just have one eye, and all we want to do is get to heaven. And so now the concept of Jesus dying is embraced by the philosophy that he died to get me to heaven. And so that's why two-thirds of the church are happy with just being saved. Because when I die, see, that's all you care about. Now, I do not remove the reality that you should care about your eternal destination. But let me put it to you like this. If my destination is Orlando, Florida, prior to going there, I have to make a reservation. I have to make sure I have a ride to the airport, make sure my flight is on time, make sure nothing's been canceled. There's a lot of work to do to reach my destination. Then when I get to the airport, I have to be there in significant amount of time, at least 2 hours, so that I may settle in just in case. Now, I haven't reached my destination. Inside, I'm still happy about my destination, but there are many things that must be accomplished prior to getting to my destination. So the destination is great, but there's a tremendous amount of stuff that goes on prior to the destination. Jesus declares in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Seek the kingdom of God." What's he saying? The word seek in the Greek, that verb means to inquire as to how it works. And how many of us today can say that we know how it works? That we know how the kingdom works because we don't seek it. Again, let me use the Orlando illustration, the Disney World, to be more specific. When you understand how it works, you know you don't go in June and July and August. Because you understand there are approximately 65,000 people in each park, and the temperature is averaging 95 to 100 and God knows what. With 65,000 people meandering around the park, you're going to wait 2 to 2.5 to 3 hours for the more popular rides. So you've sorted out. You understand that if I go, I'm not going to stay in Kissimmee. I'm going to stay on the property because it makes no sense to go and stay in Kissimmee and drive 20 minutes in, pay $37 to park, and drive another 20 minutes out when you're dead tired after the sun has beaten you into submission. So you understand why you sort it out. You know that if you want Mickey's character breakfast, you have to reserve that 3 months out because you understand the crowds come in. This is why when you go there to the more popular attractions, you do not see many Hamites because we don't like to get up early. And Disney is not a place for sleepers. In fact, when you understand it, you know you have to schedule 2 weeks vacation, one for Disney and one to recuperate, if you don't understand it. If you've sought it out, you know that Americans are predominantly what? Right-handed. And since Americans are predominantly right-handed, they have an attitude of what? Walking to the? Well, if you understand the kingdom, you know to walk to the left so that while those people are in the three-hour rides, you're in the ones where the people are on their way out of the park. But since it's early, there's no one over there, so you can ride with less time. And by the time you get over to the other side, they're dragging on this side, but you've what? Studied the kingdom. That's why it's called the Magic Kingdom. Are you with me? Now, what is the principal thing about the kingdom of God? It is not eternal life. Eternal life is a byproduct of the relationship. That's all it is. Eternal life is what you're going to get. You rejoice over it, you thank God for it, but eternal life doesn't help you get a job. Eternal life doesn't get the devil off your back. Eternal life doesn't improve your outlook. Eternal life doesn't make you a better person. It just means that when you die, you're not dying. But Jesus says here in John's Gospel, chapter 10, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. What does he come to kill? What does he come to steal? What does he come to destroy? If you are born again, he can't kill you. If you are born again, he can't destroy you. If you are born again, he can't steal anything from you. So what is it that he's stealing? He's trying to steal your life.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 800-869-1690. And when ordering, request ID number
10315A.
Today's message is available on CD for $7 and DVD for $12. Here at Bethel, we'd like to hear from you. To correspond with us directly, you may send emails to info@betheldeliverance.org or write to Bethel Deliverance International Church, 2901 West Sheltenham Avenue, Wincote, PA 19095. For more information about Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church, visit betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord.